So today I'd like to start a brand new series titled The Armor of God. It's 6 weeks long, and we're going to look at the value of the armor of God to us as individuals. In your notes, there are two verses printed at the top of the sermon listening guide, and I'd like for us to read those together. Let's do it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in this mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. It's interesting, this thing called our wardrobe and getting dressed. Whenever we go somewhere, even this morning, you got up, went to your closet, and you said, what am I going to wear today? And you decided for this and against this because of what you thought would be appropriate for the occasion. If you go to a wedding, you might step it up and say, I got to really get looking nice. Or if you go to a funeral, you say, what's the best dress apparel that I should wear? Or if you go to a ball game and it's 80 degrees and you're sitting in the stands, chances are you're going to put your shorts on, a t-shirt, and just enjoy the outside experience. On the other hand, if it is 40 degrees and it's a cold football night or day, whatever it might be, you decide you need to wear something a little warmer. So this whole thing about clothing and getting dressed is a big part of our lives. But there's something else that we need to think about that maybe we don't give much time to, and that is how we get dressed in God's presence to live out our faith. And it's called the armor of God. And Paul says to be strong in the Lord and his power, not ours. And then he uses two words. He says, there's something I want you to put on. In other words, clothe yourself with it. In other words, get dressed. And it's not an outer apparel. It's what you do on the inside. And so for 6 weeks, we're going to look at the different pieces of armor and how we put it on, how we get dressed, how we can then take our stand and live out our faith against the devil's schemes. And so, you know, the enemy of our soul wants to defeat us. And Jesus put it this way in John 10:10. He says, the thief, which is Satan, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you know that you and I have an enemy that wants to neutralize our life? He doesn't want us to succeed. He doesn't want us to have a good marriage. He doesn't want us to live a fulfilled life. He wants to basically steal, to kill and destroy our life. We're going to be talking about that today. But God says, if we take his armor, and it's an invisible clothing. It's what we put on the inside of our lives. It will give us amazing victory and power to live out our Christian faith. So here's a definition. It's in your notes of the armor of God. You can fill this word in. It's his wardrobe that we must get dressed in to be victorious in life. I got a question to ask. When you got up this morning, did you get God's wardrobe into your life? A lot of times we don't think about it. We're busy people, and we just zoom through life. But here's the secret. If you and I learn to get dressed with the wardrobe of God on the inside of our life, here's what will happen. We'll have greater peace. Our relationships with other people will be better. We won't be as confused. And not only that, the condemnation and guilt that we often feel, the armor of God, when we use it properly, will help us conquer that. And our self-esteem, what we think about ourselves and how we feel about ourselves, will go way up. The end result, we will live a victorious life at a higher level if we take this armor and we apply it to our lives. Here's a picture. This is a picture of a soldier, and in the Roman days, they dressed themselves with this type of equipment. There's six different pieces to the armor, And there's a half-page flyer. It looks like this. There's some on the table. There was some on the offering box. If you didn't get one coming in, I want you to get one going out. And I want you to go home and put it in your Bible. And over the next 6 weeks that we review these pieces, I want you to study it and apply it and make it personal in your life. Okay, so here's what I want us to do now. We're going to watch a video. It's about 3 minutes and 44 seconds long, kind of fast pace. It's really for kids, but it's very much a great teaching tool. And it gives us an overview of this thing called the armor of God, and then we'll get into this morning's lesson. Let's watch it.
God's story, the armor of God. So part of God's story is about how God gives us armor, and it goes like this. When we follow Jesus, we're a part of God's kingdom. And one day, Jesus will recreate a perfect world for the whole family to enjoy with God forever. But until then, we're in a battle, which means we're part of God's family and his army. See, God's enemy, we call him the devil or Satan, has a kingdom too. And he has his own army devoted to tricking us into believing that we can't trust God, or that God doesn't really love us, or worse, that God's love isn't good enough. Basically, he'll do anything to get us to stop trusting and obeying God. He pretends to be sneaky, like in the Garden of Eden, when he tricked Adam and Eve into trusting him instead of God. But he really wants to destroy us. In fact, the Bible says he is like a roaring lion, looking for people to devour. Yikes! Kids, how would you feel if you were being chased by a roaring lion? Anyway, the good news is, God has given us armor to defend against all of the devil's attacks. And if you're going to be in a battle, you've got to have the right equipment. So the first thing we put on is a belt of truth. That's because Satan is the father of lies. But when we choose to believe the truth that Jesus rescued us and God loves us, it's like we're wearing devil repellent, so the devil's lies can't get through to us. We also get a breastplate of righteousness. Being righteous means always making right choices. Of course, nobody has done that except Jesus. But see, Jesus took the punishment for our bad choices. So when we choose to accept his rescue, God sees our sins as gone, which means to him, we are righteous. Satan means the accuser, and he loves to make us feel guilty. But we can defend ourselves by remembering how God sees us. Then come your feet. God covers them with what we need to go and tell people the good news about Jesus, kind of like boots. When more and more people believe in Jesus, the devil can't stand it, because God's army and his kingdom are both getting bigger. We don't go into battle empty-handed either. We get a shield and a sword. Our shield is faith to block the devil's lies. Worried God won't take care of you? Nope. God promises to give us what we need. Worried God doesn't really love you? Nope. God created you in his own image. Our sword is the Word of God, or the Bible. Finally, we get a helmet of salvation, which helps us remember in our heads that Jesus rescued us. We are a part of God's family, and nothing can separate us from his love. That's right, nothing. And the best part? We're on the side that wins. So no matter how hard the devil tries to drag us over to his side, he won't be able to. God helps us stand strong and gives us armor we can use in the fight. And that's the story of the armor of God. So in case you missed it, here's the quick version. We're in a battle. God has an enemy. God gives us armor, a belt of truth, a breastplate of righteousness, good news boots, a shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and a helmet of salvation. We're on the winning side. So let's put on this armor and fight! And that's a part of God's story.
All right, it's a great video which gives the overview of God's armor. So here's what I want to do today. The title of the message this morning is We Are in a Spiritual Battle. We may not realize it, but the forces of good and evil are at work all in the world around us, as well as in our own lives as we make choices and make decisions going forward. There's a verse 12 in your notes I'd like for us to read that together. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This verse tells us that there are forces at work. They're titled rulers, authorities, powers of the dark world that are released into our world. And so here's the summary version. God is on the good side, and there's a force of good, but there's also a force of evil at work, and we are in the midst of the battle. Now, the armor of God is meant to be protection for us defensively as well as offensively if we put it on and clothe ourselves with it. So today I want to talk about we're in a spiritual battle and how we got here. I'm going to get into or begin the actual pieces of armor next week, but today I wanted to lay a foundation. For some of you, this may be old material. For others, it may be new. But I'm going to ask three questions, and then I'm going to give the answer to each one. In understanding this incredible battle that we are locked into and that each of us have to live throughout our lifetime. Number one, it's in your notes. First question is this. Where did sin and evil come from? You might think the Garden of Eden, because that's when Eve and Adam partook of the fruit that God commanded them not to. But it goes back before that. And here's the answer part of the question. Lucifer, an archangel, fell from heaven and took one-third of the angels with him. Lucifer is the name of a created angel, a high-level one, some which feel like he was one of the chief angels, and he fell from heaven and took a third of the angels with him. Let's read together from Isaiah the first two paragraphs in your notes. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you were cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. In this passage in Isaiah, some scholars believe that it was Lucifer, which means day star, a high-level angel, in which some people even believe he was like a worship leader, and he had amazing prominence in the kingdom. And what happened was, he decided he wanted to become like God, and his heart was filled with pride. What happened was he was cast out of heaven, and he took a third of the angels with him. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 4, in your notes, here's what it says. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. When Satan left heaven, he either convinced or somehow influenced other angels to follow him. In the book of Ezekiel, another passage which addresses this whole issue of what happened to Lucifer, verse 17 in chapter 28 says this, your heart became proud on account of your beauty. Lucifer was a created angel, high-level archangel, and he had amazing beauty. If you can imagine God creating something so beautiful, I mean, it's just pleasing to the eyes, it would be Lucifer. And somehow, some way, in his heart, it became filled with pride, and he decided he would mount up against God, and he wanted to be like God. Well, God cannot tolerate disobedience or sin, and he was cast out of heaven. Now, I want to give you some other names that describe him. So he starts with Lucifer, which means day star. He started out good. He's also called Satan, the adversary. He's also called the devil, which means he's a slanderous one. He's referred to as the ruler of the world, this world. He's the prince of the power of the air, which means this. He is the chief leader of the darkness in our world. He's also referred to as the accuser of the brethren. Have you ever felt just totally condemned in your life? You feel like you may have done something wrong. And the sense of accusation and the sense of condemnation was very, very, very intense. He is behind this sense of being condemned and feeling so horrible about life. He's the father of lies. He's the accuser of God's people. He's also referred to as the tempter. We now go to the book of Genesis. And remember, it was the serpent who began to communicate with Eve. Did God really say you should not partake of the fruit of that tree? And so he tempted or tried to mislead Eve to do it. Let me just say, he does the same thing to us. He will tempt us. He will accuse us. He'll be slanderous toward us. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's our adversary. He's the slanderous one. And just as he did to Eve and to Adam, he'll do to us. Now, we know what happened. Verse 1 of Genesis 3, let's read it together. It's on the back side of your sermon listing guide. Let's read it. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Here's what he did. He placed doubts into Eve's mind about God's goodness toward her. And may I suggest he does the same things for us. He tempts us in the same way. He said, "Well, you know, it's not that bad. Go ahead and do it." And we have to make decisions every day of whether we do it or we don't. And the key is whose voice we are listening to. Because we're in a battle between good, which is God, and evil, which is the prince of the power of this air, Satan. And we make choices every day that we want to honor and to please God. So the question, where did evil and sin come from in the first place? It did not start in the Garden of Eden. It started long before that when Lucifer, an archangel, fell from heaven and one third of the angels went with him. Question number 2. How did God respond to the fall of mankind? So Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, and disobedience and sin entered the human race, and all of a sudden they lost fellowship with God himself. They felt like they were disconnected. And the question is, how did God respond to that whole incident? Here's the answer. God sent Jesus in time to defeat and conquer sin and evil. So God made a remedy for the fall of mankind. I want you to pick up on something. There's no remedy in the Bible for Lucifer and the angels. There's nothing there. The remedy is for us. One scholar, what I've heard in the past, was because there's no remedy for Lucifer and the angels is because they dwelled in the presence of God. I mean, they saw his full glory. And then they were cast out. But the remedy and the rescue is for us to conquer sin and evil and to give us victory. So read with me John 19:30 in your notes. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He's 33 years old, on the cross, last day of his life. He's in agony and pain. And he utters these words. He says, "It is finished." Now the question is, what does that mean? Here's what it is. He finished a work that was so complete and so thorough and so covering that it secured our salvation. He was the spotless, sinless Lamb of God who died for us as a sacrifice so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And he said, "It is finished." God does not have to do anything more for us than he's already done. He's already made the way. It's all on the table. It's waiting for us. It's the armor of God. It's who he is in us if we want it. We just need to make it our own. Because you know why? It is finished. It's already done. Nothing more does he have to do. He just wants to love us back to himself. 1 John 3:8. Let's read that in your notes. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. Understand that Jesus came on mission to destroy what Satan had taken and stolen from us. It is defeated. It is conquered. Sin and death and evil is just God. Jesus just overcame it all. Read with me Colossians 2:15. In this way, God disarmed the evil rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. I want you to circle the word disarmed. Let me just stop here. Have you got anything in your life that has power over you that you wished it didn't? We all do. And you know what Christ came to do? He came to disarm that power in your life. You know why? It is finished. The victory's been won. And so we find that the word disarm is he totally conquered. He humiliated Satan by his victory in the cross. So much so in 1 John it says he destroyed the devil's work. Circle the word destroy. And then in John 19:30, circle the word finished. But here's the big point, that when mankind fell into sin and disconnected fellowship with God, Jesus was sent to restore that, to recover it, to rescue us, so that we could live in fellowship with God himself. So, number one, where did sin and evil come from? It came from Lucifer. He fell, took a third of the angels with him. Number two, how did God respond to the fall when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit? Years later, he sent Jesus, and Jesus did a work on the cross that finished it. It conquered. It's defeated. It's overcome, and he is the victor. And now the third one, and this is the personal application point. In light of what Christ has done for us, how does God want us to live our life? This is, February of 2023. How does God want you to live your life today? In other words, when we get up in the morning, what is our outlook? What is our sense of hope? What is our sense of, wow, if I got a struggle in my life, am I going to get past this? I hope this answers it today. Here's the answer. How does God want us to live our life? Here's the answer. From a position of victory. He wants us to live our life from a position of victory. Read with me in Hebrews 1, chapter 3, that verse there. The Son is the radiance of the God's glory. After he had provided purification for the sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Back in the days when there were conquests and conquerors would go out and face another army, here's what happened. The leader, the commander, would go back home, the one who won the battle, and they would have a special seat. It was a chair, It was a place of nobility and honor. And they would seat. They would sit in a certain seat. And it was a symbol that they were victorious over the enemy. So when Jesus conquered sin by dying on the cross and was raised again, here's what happened. He got a special seat. The special seat is in heaven. It's on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And it says here that he sat down on it. It was his chair of nobility, a chair representing that he won the victory. It's his seat of prominence because of what he did for us. And he's seated there today. Why? Because he finished a work that conquered death and sin and evil. Now, there's another piece of this that's very important for us to understand. Let's read together the last couple of verses. But because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. When Jesus died and rose again and was seated on the right hand of God the Father, it was a special seat just for him. And here's what he did. Because of his love and grace toward us, human beings like you and me, he made us co-heirs. That whatever the Father gave to him, he's giving to us. We're a joint heir or a co-heir with Christ. And this text says this: we are seated with him in a place in heaven because of his mercy and grace. The place of victory that we need to live from is knowing and understanding where we are seated today. We are sitting in a sanctuary. We are here today, but spiritually we are seated in the heavenlies with Christ next to his chair because he won the battle over sin and evil. So when you think about where God wants you to live or how he wants you to live, we must understand as we study the armor of God, these pieces of offense and defense that can help us, we live life from a place of victory, that whatever needs to be disarmed in our life, whatever needs to be conquered because we have a habit, whatever power is at work that defeats us mentally or emotionally, we have a place of victory we should live life from. Say, God, I'm working on it. You've helped me conquer some things. I got a few more things to overcome, but we live from the place of victory. And I want everybody here as we leave today to understand this. The victory's here. It's on the table if you want it. You just got to make it your own. Over the last week or two, people, we get up and we go to work or we go to school and we do life. But how mindful are we to put on the armor, the wardrobe of God, on the inside of our lives? You know why? It'll, over time, disarm anything that has power over us. It'll conquer it. It'll defeat it. It'll overcome it. Why? Because we are seated at a place through mercy and grace around where Jesus himself is seated in the heavenlies. That gives us amazing hope and a sense of victory. So three questions. How did sin and evil come? Where did it come from? Came from Lucifer, an archangel, a leader angel in heaven whose heart became proud. He was cast out of heaven, took about a third of the angels with him. Number two, we find that evil angel, the serpent, Satan, tempted Eve, she yielded and sinned, and so did Adam. And how did God respond to the fall of mankind? This is huge. Jesus was sent to defeat and conquer sin. And he did. It's in the bag. It's already been delivered and it is finished. And it's ours for the taking if we want to partake of it. And then number three, how does he want you to live your life? today, tomorrow. Live it from a place of victory. Don't come up short. Go ahead and enter into the battle. Sometimes you got to battle for yourself. You got to battle for your own sense of position. You got to go for it. It's not just a passive connection. Sometimes we got to get in the game. And how do we do it? We put on the armor. We become bold and powerful through his grace to live in such a way that we too can be victorious. Closing story. There's an 8-year-old boy who was in the backyard, and he was trying to move a big rock. And he was pushing it, and he tried to dig around it, but it was much bigger than he could handle, and he couldn't budge it. And so the father is in the kitchen. He's looking out the window watching his son. And he decides to go out and talk to the boy. And he says, "Son, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, Dad, I'm trying to move this rock, but I haven't been able to do it." And the father said, "Well, have you tried everything?" And the son said, "Well, Dad, I tried everything I know, and I still can't move it." And then the father made this comment to his son. He said, "Son, there's one thing you haven't tried." And he said, "Well, Dad, what's that?" And the father said, "Son, you haven't asked me to help." Got any rocks in your life you haven't been able to move? It's bigger than you are, more powerful. It's overwhelming. We got to ask the one, the Father, who can help us. And he's the one that can move it. Paul said this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Not yours, but his mighty power. And he says, put on, get dressed, make it your own. Go after it. Do battle for yourself. Get a sense of fire, a sense of excitement, a sense of indignation. God, I need help in this area. And we call out to the Father to move the rocks in our life that we cannot move ourselves. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to take just a few moments and let you pray your prayer, asking God for his help to move a rock in your life. Just go ahead and take that time right now. Father, we thank you this morning that the enemy of our souls, Satan, the devil, Lucifer, whatever name or label we give him, he's been defeated. And we thank you today that we can live from a position of victory. We are seated. We sit right next to the one who finished a work, conquered, overcame, defeated all the evil and sin and death in this world, and he disarmed everything in our lives that has taken us hostage. Father, I pray for every person here today and everyone listening online that you will somehow help us to take this armor and apply it to our lives.